In Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to read verse number 1 down through verse number 3. One of the major differences between what we believe as Christians, I'm talking about genuine, born again, Bible-believing Christians, and others that will tell you that they believe in Jesus, is our Lord's position as Creator. Many of the other religions of the world, they place him as a created being. But beloved, you've got it all wrong if you're looking at Jesus as a created being. He is the Creator. I want to establish this tonight. In verse number 1, the Bible said, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And well, Lord, just show me something. And there was light." Who was it said he was the light of the world? You remember that? Who was it said, "I am the light of the world"? That's the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now I want you to go with me, if you will, to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. And I'm turning to these scriptures tonight, and I think it would be good if you marked them in your Bible, if you mark your Bible, or if not, make notes of these things. We're talking about the doctrine of Christ, and the subtitle tonight would be His pre-incarnation. His pre-incarnation. We'll get to His incarnation. That's the virgin birth when He comes and takes on a body, a robe of flesh. But we're looking tonight at what happened before that. And I hope you'll stay with me tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing. The Word of God said in John chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1, "In the beginning was the Word." Isn't that something? In the beginning, God. And then you come over here to John and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, if you have any trouble establishing what this Word is talking about right here, it's capitalized. You go down to verse number 14, and the Bible said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." It can be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said over there a little bit later, verse 17, "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now look at verse 1 again. "In the beginning was the Word." You could say, listen, I'm not changing the Bible, but you could say, "In the beginning was Jesus." And I hope you'll get that tonight before we leave here tonight. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word," and Jesus was with God, "and Jesus was God." That would not be doing a disservice to the Word of God at all when you connect verse 1 with verse number 14. "The same was in the beginning with God." Now look at verse 3. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." One of the easiest way to get this established in your heart and in your mind is to realize Jesus is not a created being. Jesus is the Creator. That's what the Word of God is teaching us right here. In the beginning. Now, if you go with me to Colossians, I'm trying to tie the Old Testament and the New Testament together. The Bible talks about rightly dividing the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. Go with me to Colossians chapter number 1, please. Colossians chapter number 1. Now, I'm doing this on purpose. Lots of times I print my verses out, and I just take off and go. But I want you to go with me. I want to give you time to find it as well. Colossians chapter number 1. Let's start reading in verse number 12. The Bible said here, "Giving thanks unto the Father." If we understand who Jesus is, we'll want to do that. "Which hath made us meet, or fit," you could say, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." The other night, I was speaking with the young man that got saved, him and his wife in the garage. And he said, I have a Bible, but I don't know what kind it is. He said, what kind of Bible is yours? And I said, it's a King James Bible. And I said, it's what we use in our church. It's what we believe. We believe it's God's Word preserved in the English language to every generation. And I looked at that young man and I called his name. I'm not going to do that tonight for sake of the recording and all that. But I said, sir, if you started at my Bible with a knife and said, I'm going to cut this verse out, I said, what do you think I'd do? He looked at me and he said, you wouldn't let me. I said, you're exactly right. And I said, it's not right to attack God's Word and cut verses and cut words out. And one of the examples I used is this verse right here, in whom we have redemption. Some of these modern Bibles leave out through His blood. Why would you leave that out? Why would you leave it out of your songbook? Why would you take it out of your Bible? Amen. And that's the most precious thing, amen, that you can ever, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Amen. And now watch this. Who is the image? It's talking about Jesus, the King of His dear Son. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him, we know that's talking about Jesus. Read it in. For by Him all things were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him, and I love this, and for Him. Amen. The Bible said, and He is before all things, and behind Him all things consist. I don't have any trouble believing these verses, do you? I'm trying to show you tonight, a preacher said one time years ago, man, I tell you what, I love what one man said, it's better to keep your mouth shut and let everybody think you're a fool as to open your mouth and remove all doubt. He said you can't find Christ in the Old Testament. I'm telling you what's the truth. I feel sorry for a man that would even say something like that. He must have heard somebody say that surely, amen. You might not find that word, but Jesus is all over, amen. He's all over the Old Testament. And we're going to see some of that tonight. He is the head of the body. The body's the church. Well, that's what He said. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him He reconciled all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And so tonight, we're just getting started here a little bit about the pre-incarnate Christ and showing you that all the way back there, that the Bible, when it says, in the beginning, God, that right there's Jesus. Amen. When He said, let us make man in our own image, right there's Jesus. Right there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in Psalm 90 and verse number 2, I did print this verse out, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. I didn't mean to say this tonight, but Melchizedek is a type of Christ in that there's no beginning and there's no ending. Amen. He's not a created being. He is the creator of the world. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8 tonight. Proverbs chapter number 8. This scripture is absolutely rich. And if you didn't understand or know, you would read right through it and you would miss it. But the Bible said, doth not wisdom cry? Watch this. And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top. By the way, before I go any further, 1 Corinthians 1:30 said, but of Him are ye in Christ. Of Him are ye in Christ, who hath of God, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Many people would read Proverbs chapter number 8 and they would miss Jesus altogether. But if you understand that He's made unto us wisdom, and you'll understand a little bit better when we read on, you'll see Him. Well, notice what the Bible said here. go down to verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mind. Who was called counselor? Who was called the everlasting Father? The mighty God? The Prince of Peace? I believe that's what Isaiah said about him, ain't it? Amen. Watch this now. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Watch this. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. I lead in the way of righteousness. What did Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk. Are you seeing this tonight? Amen. Are you seeing the parallel? The Bible said that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord, watch this now. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the earth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the seed to the sea his decree, and the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then was I by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. Proverbs, Solomon, that wise man that God had given that wisdom to, is revealing to us here. It's not right out on the surface, but if you study your Bible, right there he is. Amen. Right there in the creation. One brought up with him. Amen. And what a blessing that is. You don't get out of Genesis. Turn to Genesis chapter number 3. I mentioned a while ago, let us make man in our own image. And you say, Pastor, what do you think that means exactly? You think God looks like us or we look like God? Personally, what I believe is God is saying he's a triune being. And so are you and I. Amen. We are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, a triune being. And we are made up the same way. One day we're going to be like Christ. What all that entails, I don't know, but that's good enough for me to know. I've read enough about him. Amen. Studied enough about him to know to be like him. That's the ultimate goal. Amen. To be able to speak like he did. To be able to be kind like he was. To be able to forgive like he did. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Watch this now. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 14 and 15, we're exposed to the Redeemer. The Bible said, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, this is after the fall in the garden. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of my life. I can't prove this. But after the curse, the snake goes down on his belly. I wonder if he wasn't something beautiful coming through that garden. You understand what I mean? I wonder if he wasn't something to see. Amen? A thing of, especially there was no curse. You understand that? Amen? He's coming through the garden and he has that conversation with Eve. He first wants her just to doubt God's word. But then that's not good enough. He wants her to deny God's word. And here we see in verse number 15, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'm telling you, there's only one way to have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's the one, beloved, that got his heel bruised. That's get on his side, because he's the one that bruised the head of the fellow on the other side. Say amen. And thank God that he did. We see the promised Redeemer. We're not going back to this at all, but in Abraham and Isaac in the Old Testament, Genesis 22, you see a foreshadowing of the cross and what was going to happen there, the sacrifice. And then in Joseph's life in the Old Testament, you find a type and typology of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to bear with me just a minute. You can study Joseph from Genesis chapter number 37 to verse number to chapter number 50, and it is a wonderful study, the life of Joseph. One of the things I'll never forget, I think it's Genesis chapter number 39. You've got Joseph's in the pit, Joseph's in the palace, Joseph or in Potiphar's house, Joseph's in prison, and then Joseph's in the palace with the king of Egypt. But there's one thing that never, Joseph's situation just kept changing. But there's one thing that never changed, Brother Mike. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. You go, God went with him all the way. Amen. And he went with God all the way. Let me give you some things tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. If you have a Scofield Bible, I'm looking at the bottom of the page on page 53. And this is a note here from C.I. Scofield that I think is worthy of reading tonight. While it is nowhere asserted that Joseph was a type of Christ, the analogies are too numerous to be accidental. He said here, they were both special objects of their father's love. You know God the Father loved his son. Amen. And he loved us so much he gave us his son. Amen. But watch this. So was Joseph. Remember, Joseph's father made him that coat of many colors. That's one of the things that got him in trouble. The brethren were jealous. No wonder the Bible's correct when it says jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Amen. Watch this now. They're both a special object of their father's love. And then both of them were hated by their brethren. Beloved, it wasn't the Gentiles that was giving Jesus a fit while he was on the earth. It was the Jews. And it wasn't just the Jews. It was the religious Jews. They lost their grip. And Jesus spoke with authority. And they said, never a man spake like this man. The superior claims of both of them were rejected by their brethren. And Jesus, when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And they more or less said, hogwash. Amen. We'll nail you to a cross because you made yourself equal with God. Amen. And they rejected Joseph and his claims as well. You remember Joseph said, your sheaves are going to bow down to my sheaves? They said, we'll see. But that's exactly what happened. Say amen. They had to come down there in Egypt. No, Joseph had corn. Nobody else had corn. Amen. They had to come down there and bring their sacks and get them some corn or they was going to die. God used Joseph in a mighty way there. Then the brethren of both conspired against them to slay them. You remember that? Joseph was, in intent and figure, slain by his brethren, as was Christ. Each became a blessing among the Gentiles and gained a Gentile bride. Glory to God, I like that, don't you? Amen. And then the Bible teaches this about Joseph. Joseph reconciled his brethren to himself. Ain't that good? Boy, they got scared when Daddy died. They said, he's going to get even. Joseph said, am I in the place of God? He said, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive this day. God had a plan, didn't he? Amen. In both the life of Jesus and Joseph. And Joseph reconciled his brethren, and so will Christ be with his Jewish brethren. I want to say this. This is not included in C.I. Schofield's note, and I'm not saying this to say I'm any smarter than he is, but you can read. I've read and read and read and read, and you'll not find anything negative said about Joseph. I believe you could even tie it in. You know, Potiphar's wife said, lie with me. Lie with me. And he run for his life. That's what smart people do. Amen. When a Jezebel says, lie with me. Amen. You run. It ain't time to take a stand. It's time to put your Nikes on and run. Amen. Just as fast as you can. But Joseph, I'm going to tie it in with the Bible said of Jesus, he was tempted in all points like as we are. Joseph was tempted, but he didn't give in to that temptation. He'd rather, think about this for a moment, he'd rather go to prison than lose his testimony. He'd rather go to prison, falsely accused, amen, than to lose his testimony. Turn with me to John chapter 8 tonight. John chapter 8. I think we'll cover this tonight. We'll probably quit right there. I'm maybe halfway through this first part about the doctrine of Christ and his pre-incarnation. I enjoy this. I hope you do. Just there's a time to preach. There's a time just to study. Listen, a lot of people, if you ask them, is Jesus equal with God? They say, well, I don't know. Was Jesus created by God? Well, I'm not sure. You ought to be sure about those things. It's important. Amen? It's very, very important. Not only do we see that Joseph's life was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I won't turn there to this scripture, but I skipped over this. When you can look at Genesis 49, 8 through 10, he's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. You find him in Genesis and you find him in Revelation. And let me tell you something about my Bible. You find him everywhere in between. Right there he is. Amen. All you got to do is open your eyes and open your heart, and Jesus will show up in the pages of this old book. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? John chapter 8 tonight. I'll show you something here. We're going to begin reading in verse number 33. We're talking about our Lord's pre-incarnation. We're going to begin reading in verse number 33. The Bible said they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be free. Boy, they had a short memory, didn't they? They didn't even remember Egypt, did they? They didn't even remember the Babylonian captivity, did they? Yeah, they were in bondage. Somebody help me tonight. But they're making a foolish argument. And Jesus said in verse 32, the reason they said that, said you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And what they're saying is, we're already free. You're too late for that. We ain't never been in bondage to any man. How many remembers when you were in bondage to sin? I wanted out and couldn't get out. I'm glad I met the one, Brother Jack, with the keys to the handcuffs. He turned them loose. They answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed. They're proud of that. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Well, I'm sure they like that. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Looks to me like these two fathers presented here. There's a whole lot of people in this world, here's what they believe. The brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. Let me tell you something. This is a statement that came to my heart and mind several years ago. I got to stop and think about it. We are all God's creation through our first birth. But you can only be God's children through a second birth. We're not all God's children. That's what's going to go on right here. Jesus is going to tell them, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. Watch this now. He said, I speak which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now this is not talking about back there in Genesis. This is talking about the incarnations where he proceeded forth and came from God. It was God that sent him, amen, to the earth. Jesus said, I was born to die. Watch verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil. I'm guessing they like this real good. Amen. They're talking about Abraham. He said, oh, no. You're of your father the devil. The lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. When I read that verse right there, I go back to the night I was saved. The very night that God saved me, having been a church member for 6.5 years, there was a struggle went on that I cannot even begin to describe to you. The Lord, conviction had come. Man, I'm telling you, it was like the Lord was saying, I love you. And the devil would say, they'll laugh at you. And the Lord was saying, you better not worry about what they do. Amen. And the devil would say, they'll throw you out of this church. They'll laugh you to scorn. And that went on for the whole time my pastor was preaching that night. I found out something about that night. I left that pew, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. My pastor put his arm around me and said, Rick, I'm glad you come, son. There ain't nothing worth dying going to hell over. I found out something that night, Brother Vincent, God had already said, he's a liar. They wasn't nobody laughing. Everybody was crying. And they was rejoicing. People went to testifying. I was a deacon before I got saved. I played the piano before I got saved. I thought I was the only religious lost person in the world. Why didn't they tell me before? Might have helped me. Amen. I thought I was the only one. I'm going to tell you something tonight. He's a liar. If you do anything for God, it won't be long, Brother Dale. He'll jump up on that shoulder. You're wasting your time. That was part of that poem for Brother Wayne. I'm sure a lot of people thought he's wasting his time going over to that jail. Amen. We'll see. You wait. We'll see if he's wasting his time or not. Amen. I'm sure the Brother Spence down there in that print shop, Brother Houston, old devil jumps up there, you're wasting your time. I'm going to tell you something right now. When they find out when they get home, amen. How many? There was one guy who got saved in Missouri, and he got saved. He took a chick track. That's one of them with them little cartoons in it. Somebody gave it to a prisoner, an inmate. He wadded it up and throwed it in the trash can. This man got it out, ironed it out, so he could read it. And he read it and knelt by his bunk in a prison and asked Jesus to save him. I'm telling you, Brother Caleb, our ministry wanted him so bad. He would have been so good in the Rock of Ages prison ministry. He said, no, I've got orders from headquarters. I'm going to St. Louis. I'm starting a church for the street people in St. Louis. That's what God told him to do. You say, Pastor, you don't really believe things like that. I do. I've seen it. That woman sitting over there and me are most likely, unlikely people in the world to be doing what we're doing. But God. But God. He's a liar. Jesus said, because I tell you the truth. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me a minute. He said, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. By the way, anybody's pleasing God ain't seeking their own glory. The Bible said, I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham's dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? You're going to get it here in a minute. Which is dead, and the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. How many knows him tonight? And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. Boy, Jesus, he really trims that message, don't he? Amen. I'd be a liar just like you are. Amen. Like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham, watch this, rejoiced. We're going to get to this next week. That your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. It gets even better. Then said the Jews, thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, here it is. Before Abraham was, I am. Glory to God. I don't have any trouble with that, do you? From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You say, well, why didn't Jesus just let them stone him? It wasn't time, number one. Wasn't a place, number two. See, all these things had already been foretold in the Old Testament. We already knew, amen. And here they are. They have the Son of God right in front of them, and they don't recognize him. To me, that's one of the saddest things in the world. I really believe with all of my heart that there will be some men that will leave this world and they will go to hell from a bar stool. Some will go to hell from a crack house. Some will go to hell from a mansion. I mean, they live in a nice, beautiful house up on the hill from a mansion. Some will go to hell from the ghetto. But the saddest thing I can think of in my life is for somebody to go to hell from a church pew. Especially a church pew where the truth is being proclaimed. If I understand the Bible correctly, and I believe I do, it's going to happen. Many, Jesus said, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. They got the right word. They got him on their lips, but they don't have him in their heart. What I'm saying right now, if you're saved by the grace of God, it don't bother you one bit. But if it does bother you, I'll stop and say this. You need to be bothered. If you don't understand that religion is not the way to heaven, it's a relationship with Jesus. You must be born again. I don't believe you can love the Father and not love the Son. I don't believe you can love the Father and love the Son and not love the Spirit. I don't believe you can love the Father and love the Son and love the Spirit and not love the Scripture. Years ago, I heard somebody sing a song. I can't remember the words of it, all of them, but it said, I'm using my Bible for a road map. My last stop is heaven. Some glad day. There are a lot of people that, where that may be true. Ones I'm concerned about is the ones that's using their roadmap for a Bible. Amen. Never have time for the house of God. Never have time for the Lord. Time to go everywhere under the sun. I worked for a man in Abingdon, Virginia, helped him build a machine shop. It wasn't far from where y'all's place was, Brother Eddie, after all. I think it's on 58 when y'all was out there for a while. In that, it was production machine. It was in that industrial park there, right when you start out 58. He and his wife were going to church one morning, and they were going out Route 19 to a church out of Abingdon. And they said somebody just passed them like this, sitting still, pulling the bass boat. And the wife looked over at him and said, look at there, honey. Somebody's taking their boat to church with them this morning. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Shoo, I'm tired. I appreciate y'all coming tonight.